Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on Your Encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. A little bit of a trigger warning here. This one does talk about grief, specifically the loss of a child. It is a wonderful conversation, though, and this is a ministry that specifically blesses grieving parents, bereaved parents. And so we do want to make sure that that we let you know that going into it. But this is a really great interview that I'm excited to share with you about P23 Retreat. So without further ado, here is the interview with Cindy Scheffelbarger with P23 Retreat. Cindy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I'm excited to share this with our listeners. And I do want to get into, what the purpose is behind P23 Retreat. But could you start off just by telling us what it is, like just the very basics for our listeners to understand, and also your role within P23 Retreat?
Sure. And thank you, Megan, for having me today. So P23 Retreat, we are a 501(c) nonprofit, and we are working to create space for parents to grieve. And so we partner grieving parents with a property or space that they can go and have a weekend retreat so that they can kind of rest and restore and reorient themselves as they take a step towards healing in their grieving process. I currently am serving as the executive director, and my husband and I founded the organization. We are fairly new, and we're excited to get moving and to kick things off.
That's amazing. And just to clarify for our listening audience, when you talk about the grieving process, we are talking about parents who have lost a child, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Can I ask, what was the inspiration behind this? What was the catalyst that started P23 Retreat?
Sure. I'll try to give you the abridged version.
Sure.
It's been quite a journey. But we had a daughter who was diagnosed in utero with trisomy 18, mm-hmm. which in the medical world, they deem that incompatible with life. And we had a specialist who encouraged us to terminate the pregnancy and said it would spare us grief and pain. Thankfully, my regular OB supported our decision to carry her to term. Mm-hmm. And while we waited and she continued to grow and develop, we prayed and we waited some more and we prayed some more. And people rallied around us to support us, so we celebrated her when she was born, and we were grateful for the time that we had with her, but she was here for only 3 days. Mm. And during that time, obviously, we got to love her and hold her, feed her, sing to her. I got to be her mom, and I'm grateful for that time. But saying goodbye when she died obviously ushered in this next level of grief for us.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about grief, it's very disorienting, it's heavy, exhausting, both physically and emotionally, and it feels very lonely. Nobody else can do the work for you. But God met us in that space, and he brought comfort and grace with his presence. He gave us hope and eventually restored our joy. And he often used people to help us feel loved. People fed us. They prayed with us. They cleaned our house. They ran errands. And early on in the process, someone said, hey, we have a beach house. It's actually a family member. We have a beach house. Why don't y'all get away for the weekend? And it was just a time for my husband and I to step away and to catch our breaths. We had two other young children at home, mm-hmm. and really trying to care for ourselves and care for them and deal with the grief was really just overwhelming. And so going to that space was a huge gift for us. And then several years down the road, we encountered another couple who had experienced their own grief, and they brought us on a mountain retreat to their home, and we experienced another level of connection and healing there, and that really kind of birthed in us this idea that we want to do this and help people one day. And so now is our one day, and starting this ministry really serves as another reminder that our daughter Ashlyn's life continues to have meaning.
That is amazing. So I want to ask you about these retreats, because obviously you've talked now about two different experiences for you and your husband where you were able to get away and have that time. So what do these
right.
retreats look like for the parents that you are serving?
So I'll just share a little bit about the process and describe what it looks like in that. So the couple will get to pick a setting, whether they prefer the mountains or a beach or lake, something within driving distance, and then we will rent the space either through an Airbnb or we will use donated rental properties, and we will offer them gas and food allowance. And then they get to take a private retreat where the couple goes away, and they really, again, it's just about creating this space for them We're providing the respite in a quiet environment for them to continue their healing, and hopefully creating an opportunity for them to connect with God and each other. And then while they're there, we send them with a care package that will provide resources for them to use. They can either use it during the retreat or at home. And those are things like a prayer journal, activity ideas for self-care and for processing their grief. And then there will be a team of people praying for them while they're on their retreat. And so we really just want to give them hope and to show them that they are seen and loved.
So then you really also answered another one of my questions that I was going to ask, which is this a private thing or is it something where they go to grieve with other parents? But it sounds like this is just something for the two of them to experience. But then you've got this team of outside prayer warriors and you provide them with everything they need to experience. Does that sound accurate?
You are right on. That is exactly correct. And we just want to give them this space. We don't want to define it for them. Mm-hmm. Grief looks different for everyone. And so if they just need the place to go and rest and sleep and step away from their daily demands or their life, it can be used in that way. Or they could be a little bit further along in their grief journey and they want to do some more processing. Mm-hmm. Our hope is that we are kind of an add-on. Hopefully they're doing some healthy things already, maybe working with a grief counselor or a pastor or a support group. And so this is just another touch point for them to hopefully find hope and healing.
And you mentioned that you do these bookings through like an Airbnb or something like that. So that means we're not dealing with properties that you own that you're sending people to. Do you think that that's something one day you would strive to do? Or do you like having this flexibility of being able to kind of book according to their needs and have like a lot more options?
So, you know, we've gone back and forth on this. Originally, we thought we were going to build a place to host, and then When that wasn't panning out as quickly as we liked, a friend said to me, you know, why don't you just set aside a little bit of money every month and send someone somewhere when you're ready to? And that kind of gave me the idea of, you know what, we could serve other people. We could ask people to join us in this, and we could serve people in different settings. We could serve people, gosh, eventually we could go beyond the state of Virginia. Mm-hmm. Really, this model will work anywhere. And so it seems like it might... while we don't have the control over the space necessarily, mm-hmm. it opens up who we can serve and possibly have a greater reach.
And how long are these stays? Like, are we talking a weekend or a week?
So we will work with a couple. So far, people have been selecting a long weekend. Mm-hmm. We would give them up to 5 days. But the long weekend seems to be what people can carve out of their work week or their, you know, the time to get away.
That's beautiful. I love that there's that flexibility. So you're not locking anyone into any particular experience, any particular place, any particular length. You really, it is in a way a very customed experience for these grieving parents.
It is, and that's our hope.
Awesome. And you mentioned food allowance and things as well. So as opposed to people actually going in and cooking for them, they're at least taken care of in that regard so they don't have to be concerned about additional expenses out of pocket.
Correct. And our intent is to have these, and this is, again, this is the other benefit of using a property somewhere else, is that we hope that they will only have like a 2-hour drive mm-hmm. or closer. And so we will provide them gas money. There's not the expense of flights. There's not the, you know, right now, you know, flying is kind of iffy in terms of if you're going to make it there. Mm-hmm. But so our hope is this way we can customize it and make it close to where they are and make it as easy as possible for them.
Well, I mean, having traveled a little bit myself, it's not exactly a cheap thing. So even though you're doing it in a very cost-effective manner, where are the funds coming from? Like, is everything through you and your husband right now, or have you involved the community? Do you do fundraisers?
Yes, we are. I'm starting to reach out to the community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we do need financial resources. Again, we are a 501c3, mm-hmm. and so our hope is people are able to donate online. They can mail in donations. We have some fundraisers that are being planned currently. We also accept donations of rental property. So if someone has an existing property that is set up for rental, they could donate a week or a long weekend mm-hmm. to us, and we hope to build a database of those. And then, obviously, we need prayer as a support from the community, prayer for the ministry, but especially prayer for the grieving parents. Mm-hmm. We're thinking that it might be an opportunity that a Sunday school class or a small group might want to sponsor a couple.
Okay.
And that would be another way that financial resources could be shared with us. So there's lots of opportunities to give. We also are asking that people help spread the word, They can connect with us on social media, but we are hoping that people will tell their pastors, their friends, their small groups. And then we are happy to come and speak at community groups to help get the word out and perhaps connect with people who want to support our mission.
And how are you connecting with the parents who will benefit from the retreat? Are they reaching out to you directly, or are those coming in as referrals?
So our hope is to primarily have people coming in referrals, because we really do support this idea of being connected and having other support resources around them. Mm-hmm. So ideally, we would like either a pastor referring or a grief counselor or a bereavement community group, something like that. We will accept people who self-select to participate, but we just ask that they have some sort of contact with a pastor or a community person, and then we will interview them as part of that process. So far, we've made personal contacts with people. Again, we're fairly new, so we've made personal contacts with people and offered the services, but we're hoping that we will start building a community of people to refer to us.
How many, just if you have a rough ballpark, how many parents have you been able to bless so far through these retreats?
So right now it's two. We are brand new. and so, again, we haven't even fully launched. Hoping in September we will be fully launched and ready to accommodate more. We do have some funds that we can accommodate numerous between now and the end of the year. They can help give us feedback on the process, but also that could be a blessing to them.
Amazing. I was going to ask if there is some sort of, I guess capacity is the only word that's coming to mind, but in terms of how many you can serve at any given time. But I guess it really comes down to funds and location availability, right?
Absolutely. So we are completely dependent on that. And then we are a volunteer organization. So we are also looking for volunteers to help with that placement process, somebody that can be compassionate in interviewing our guests and then helping to place them. And so there are lots of pieces and parts in addition to just the financial piece that we need assistance with.
In terms of, I mean, even just you and your husband's experience, you had two other young children. Is there anything that you guys are doing by way of helping for childcare while they're gone, or are they welcome to take their other kids with them? Or is that something that the grieving parents handle on their own?
Right. So that's the, we struggled with what to do about that. We're not in a position to be able to help with child care.
Sure.
And we really want this to be for the couple because I think there's value in being able to tend to themselves in terms of taking a break from those demands.
Sure. Well,
obviously, they want to love their children. We will have resources available to them in their packet. They can choose from what types of resources they want. So if they want something to help their other children who are grieving, that will be available to them. But we are not able to accommodate, at this point, child care for the other children.
Still, with everything else that you guys are providing, it really, I mean, if that's the one thing that they're taking care of, I mean, that's still a great experience.
Exactly. And our hope, again, perhaps they're in a community of people that will rally around them and help with child care or if they have local family members, things like that.
Absolutely. You've mentioned a couple times about this care package and resources. Can you unpack what that looks like for me? What kind of resources are you providing for these parents?
Sure. So they will get a prayer journal that kind of walks them through some verses and some places, some prompts for them to pray, and then includes a biblical truth and of scripture. And so the prayer journal is part of the resource. They will also get a Christmas ornament that's engraved with their child's name. They will receive a book of their choosing that speaks to whatever area of grief they might be dealing with. And then they will, while they're on retreat, there will be a list of activities that they might want to consider engaging in. Again, it will depend on where they are in their grief, but ways to do some self-care, whether that's going for a walk, going to an art museum, writing something about their child. There'll be ideas for how they can process their grief and also engage in self-care.
Is there any support offered to the parents outside of the retreat? Is there any like follow-up counseling or connections that you provide or even meetings or anything following the retreat?
So we will also have for them a list of local resources, whether that's grief counselors, hotlines, those kinds of things, suggestions on how they can get plugged into a bereavement community and find support. And then we hope to have some sort of follow-up. We haven't finished that piece yet, but we will be reaching out to them afterwards and that's still to come.
And I know that we've covered this, but I do just want to kind of make sure that it's kind of carved out from an attendee perspective, from parents who need to attend one of these retreats. How do they get in touch with P23 Retreat? We talked about referrals. We've talked about direct connection. But if you could just kind of lay out that process in a very succinct way, that would be great.
Sure. So on our website, www.p23retreat.org, there will be a link under the services that we provide, and there's a request form, and that can be used by a provider who wants to refer someone, or that can be used by an individual who wants us to consider having them in as a retreat recipient. And so it's just a matter of downloading that form, filling it out, scanning it, and emailing it back to us, or they can mail it in postal mail.
And do you have any suggestions for, let's say, someone listening right now has somebody in mind who could absolutely benefit from one of these retreats? Do you have any suggestions for them on how they can approach the couple about it, how they can talk to them about whether this would be something good for them to go through?
Sure. Well, they could reach out to us first, and I can provide them with a brochure about what we offer, and then give them ideas on maybe how to reach out to them and suggest that they connect with us.
Okay.
And again, our website is a great place to do that.
Beautiful. And I always also love to ask how the community can get involved. And we've definitely talked about how monetary donations are welcome, because that is literally how you survive and are able to provide for these parents. But you'd also mentioned volunteers. Can you talk to me about what that looks like?
Sure. So, we need volunteers for all sorts of things. Some of those are for fundraising events. If people have want to host a local fundraising event and partner with us, they can do that. They could, if they're here in Richmond where we're located, they could help us with fundraising events. We also need compassionate volunteers who are willing to interview guests as we are going through the orientation process with them. And so that involves a little bit of an interview and a little bit of giving the details and the logistics of how the travel works. And so we need volunteers in that capacity as well. And then obviously inviting us to come to community groups is a great way, or volunteering to be a prayer partner as well.
And I know that you mentioned you're based in Richmond, so I'd imagine everything that you expect to be dealing with in your early stages is locally based, but you also mentioned that this is a program that could easily be transplanted to other areas. So does that mean that even right now, let's say that you got a call in September about a couple in, I don't know, Rhode Island, that's not something currently you'd be able to facilitate, but you do hope to expand to something like that in the future. Is that right?
Well, we would be able to accommodate them now.
Okay.
It really depends on our resources.
Sure.
How many people we can fund and send. Priority right now will be given to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But again, our goal is that this would be available wherever.
And because you're dealing with things like Airbnbs and rentals like that, you really do. The world is your oyster at this point.
Exactly. Right. So.
Amazing.
We're praying to see where God leads in that.
I love that open mind, you know, just in terms of seeing where God leads you with this ministry. That's incredible.
Right. Well, thank you. And I briefly share that our motivation for all of this, while it was inspired by our daughter, our motivation is our faith. And we feel like there is a biblical perspective to this. We see that God comforts and restores. Our whole name, P23, is based off of Psalm 23. And we see that his comfort and restoring our soul with still waters and his presence and green pastures. And then we saw that Jesus had compassion for the grieving. We saw that when Lazarus died, and he was compassionate towards Martha and Mary. And we see Jesus' example. He would take times of retreat for rest and prayer. And then he gives us a call to comfort others in the ways we've experienced his comfort. And so we feel like we're trying to carry that out.
I think it's beautiful. You had mentioned that one of the greatest ways the community can help is by sharing the word. Is there a proper way, a best practice, in order for people to share about P23 Retreat?
If they would like us to come share, they can certainly reach out on our request form on our website. If they're wanting to share, we have resources that they can print on the website that they could distribute to others. There'll be a one sheet on there that they can print off and share with local groups or their church or whoever.
Well, Cindy, I have asked all of my questions. I don't think that I have anything else to ask. But before we let you go, is there anything that you did not get a chance to talk about that you want to make sure is covered?
I would just say that, you know, a lot of people aren't comfortable talking to people who are grieving. And so My hope is that this will open doors for people to just reach out and say, you know what, we can't fix your grief, but we're here and we want to create space and give you the opportunity to do that. Mm. Newly bereaved individuals experience a higher level of anxiety, depression, anger, and even physiological changes like heart rate and blood pressure go up, stress levels, sleep disturbances, all of those things. And so people just willing to be a listening ear and to say, I see you and I love you, can make all the difference. And so I thank you for your willingness to include us as in this interview and to help spread the word.
It truly is our pleasure. Cindy, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Megan.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.